Hey, this is Benita Samuels, visibility expert, digital and social media specialist, and LinkedIn junkie. If you want to learn the how to transform your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, significantly increase your revenue, and create scalable sales systems, you should be listening to the Authentic Persuasion Show with my good friend, Jason Cutter.
Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Benita Samuels began her career in New York City, growing her marketing experience working with brands like Tyson Chicken, Nestle, Disney, and artists like Mark Wahlberg, Mary Tyler Moore, Billy Joel, Richard Simmons, and many more, which is funny because as I'm going through this list, I wonder how many people listening actually know who those people are. But anyway, maybe Marky Mark. Leveraging her years of global marketing experience, Benita now shares her knowledge with entrepreneurs and small business owners, expanding their digital visibility and empowering them with the skills to use digital marketing to find, engage, and convert connections into clients. She joins me on the Authentic Persuasion Show to talk about marketing and what that means and looks like now, moving connections into conversations, and her thoughts about what makes for a successful sales process. Benita, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you, Jason. You are aging me by saying you don't know if anybody on the show even knows who those people are. I guess I have to change that.
No, I think it's great. I know who they are, so it's also aging myself. And I think it's obviously important, especially when marketing was a certain thing then and the evolution now, which is part of what your career is and what we're going to talk about. One of the things you had told me, and you're kind of doing this shift, which I think would be a good place to start before we talk about the authentic persuasion piece and your experience, is marketing being a dirty word and why that is. Because it's so funny. You told me that and I'm like, I could see that, right? Why is it a dirty word and why does that matter?
Well, I guess I'll answer the latter first. Is that why does it matter? It really doesn't matter if you are true to yourself and what you offer meets the need. But I think the reason marketing, that I think of it as a dirty word, firstly, as somebody who does marketing, you come into a meeting and you're faced with, there's a dime a dozen, you're a dime a dozen, I've done marketing, it doesn't work, why are you different? And I can certainly see that point of view, but what I have found really most recently as I have been evaluating what marketing as a dirty word means, marketing's more about a function versus what it does. And so more and more as I talk about it, I steer clear of the term marketing. And you even mentioned it when you were introducing me in the bio. And you use the word visibility. And that's really what it's about. Marketing is just a label. Visibility is the outcome. Visibility is ultimately what you want to achieve. And so call it what you want. It's really where you net out.
And as you're talking about that, that reminds me of, I wrote a blog post about this, but this is a phrase I don't use often enough, which is marry the vision, date the strategy. Which means like, what is the vision? So she has a company for businesses. Like, what is the vision? What are we married to? We married to that vision. That's who we are. That's where we're going. And then there's the strategy, which is how are we going to get there, right? That's where teams really struggle because the leadership say, hey, this is where we're going, but we need to change. We need to pivot. That's the word for 2020, right? Pivot. And then everyone gets upset because they don't like change because they're married to the strategy instead of married to the vision. And so what you're talking about is that same thing, right? So people think marketing and they think that's what they're married to as the big umbrella, but it's really like, what are the strategies? The visibility is what you want, right? Not marketing. Exactly. Marketing is the tool.
That's exactly it. And when we talk about the vision or visibility, it's where are you showing up and how are you showing up and how are you engaging and how are you communicating? Because that's really everything that is what's going to resonate with your audience. I mean, let's face facts. Yes, Coca-Cola is marketing tons of traditionally and moved into the digital space, and they're doing all of those things. But at the end of the day, what are they doing? They are communicating with us about their value proposition and why we need it. What's our pain point? Oh, we want this sweet, bubbly drink. And that, at the end of the day, is how you're going to reach your audience.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense. The other part that was interesting in what you were saying too is how marketing is a dirty word. And you walk into a meeting, you say, hey, I do marketing. It's like, everybody does marketing. We've tried it. It's failed. I feel like that's the same thing that happens to salespeople, is that sales is a dirty word as well. It's why a lot of people don't want to call themselves salespeople, because they're worried about what that means to people. And I could see that. I mean, we have enough bad impressions with a marketing or a salesperson, and you just assume it must be them, right?
Well, it's so funny that you say that, because I almost referenced that when we first started talking about this, because we really are lock and step. In fact, in many organizations, it's the marketing and sales department, because we are so lock and step. But when you step out again of the label and you think about, so in 2016, Microsoft purchased LinkedIn. At that point, LinkedIn had been around for, I guess they launched in 2002, so a little more than 10 years. And most of us got onto the platform because it was the professional social media platform. And we all put our resumes up there and we let them sit until we needed a job, right?
Yep.
2016, Microsoft had a vision, bought LinkedIn, and started to evolve what that platform was about. And now, even though it's still used for the job shop and finding work, but it is a content resource. And in making this transition, businesses and individuals have started to share that voice. And out of this evolution, there has been a birth of what's called social selling. It actually really tempers the word of sales, but it's built on the premise of you are creating a relationship, having a conversation, talking with those in your community, so that you can ultimately move them off the social platform and have a one-to-one conversation. It's much less of the expectation that you think of when you say, I'm a salesperson. And by the way, that same entire process is also marketing, because you are promoting your brand, you're talking about your brand, you're sharing your expertise as part of the content. That's the marketing part. That's the visibility part. And then when you move them into the conversation, then you get into the sales part. Both dirty words, both done in a way there that you don't feel so dirty.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the point, right? Is when it's done correctly, like you said, in organizations, especially that get that both of those are in alignment with each other. Because when it's done incorrectly, it's sales versus marketing. It's marketing versus sales. When it's done right, it's one individual customer that's going through the journey. Marketing is starting the conversation. Sales is continuing the conversation. And then there's some kind of product or service that's like the final part of the conversation or being fulfilled. And so sales isn't the final part either, despite what all the salespeople think. They think it's all circles around them, right? They're the center of the universe. But all of it needs to happen. And I think that's important. And yeah, that social selling nomenclature is interesting. And sometimes just covering up, which is selling to people on online platforms.
There are different ways of looking at it though, really, Jason, because you can do sales online and you're doing your paid media, or you are buy my stuff, straight out sales. The concept really behind social selling is more of the relationship building to get to the sale. And then when you get to the sale, very much to your point, it doesn't end, because now somebody has to take that sale and turn it into a deliverable. What was it that somebody was expecting to get out of it? So for me, when I'm working with my clients, I'm a service provider. I am helping people gain that visibility across the digital landscape. And when they come into my sphere and decide they want to work with me, it's my job to then teach them how to use the tools in such a way that they're generating the outcome that I basically promised them. So if it's learning how to use social media as a tool to generate leads, at the end of our time, they better be generating leads or else I have not provided a service.
Makes sense. And that's really the whole sales journey from marketing to sales to fulfillment. And the bigger operations, they call it customer experience, right? Like that whole journey and then through the fulfillment. So yeah, I mean, that's the important part, right? Is to tell people that you can do something and then get them to agree that you can do it and then actually doing it, right? Is all of those parts. With your clients, with the type of companies, individuals that you're working with right now, what are they doing well?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I feel like I have landed in a place that I'm so fortunate. So first, I'm not embarrassed to say I am a middle-aged woman who's working in the digital landscape where I didn't grow up like our current generation and millennials grew up with this. I was fortunate enough to get involved with digital and social media very early on in my career. So what has occurred is I have found that my clients often fall into that same category of middle-aged. And they are successful business owners. But we are all now in a world, and especially in light of COVID, that we have to have a presence on digital. And it is also going to continue that if you aren't there and you aren't using it, you in turn will become obsolete. You'll become irrelevant because that's where everybody's going to go. I actually just read a data point that 78% of small businesses have made the commitment in 2020 that they have to embrace digital and social media if they're going to survive.
Wow.
So that's really where my client base has come in. It's really wanting to be empowered by the tools that are available. And many of them obviously have a website because that's kind of the foundation. That's where we all started. And some of them have tinkered in social media or in paid media or SEO and SEM. What I find is so amazing is that many of them are adopting the social selling concept of sharing their knowledge and distributing that across the different platforms. Depending on the platform, it may be relevant to their audience. And it's a scary thing because people feel like they're being very vulnerable when they put content out. But what they're seeing is in doing that, people are interested in what they have to say. And so I would say right now with my clients, and they're generally, I would say, small to mid-sized businesses. They have 25 employees. They've been around for more than a dozen years. And the owners are in their 50s and 60s. Right? So they are embracing this and using it. And honestly, I think that regardless of your size of business, you have to be present in digital for the future of your survival.
Yeah. And what I think is fascinating about that, as I'm listening and kind of watching from the outside and taking this in, is I'm thinking about there's that reluctance of people to move towards the digital landscape and that social selling part, which is one of the tenets of that is give away lots of content, put a lot of information out there, maybe even depending on who you listen to, which I believe in myself, put your best stuff out there. And then people will appreciate that and they'll know that you probably have more and they'll want to hire you for it. Or they want your help in applying whatever it is that you're offering.
Or you're an expert in that area. So yeah, you're should talk to you before I hire somebody else. Yeah.
Exactly. And what's interesting though is that shift, especially for a generation that hasn't been on digital, is that what was always the case for a business or a successful person in sales is they had the knowledge and that and information, and that's what somebody needed, right? Somebody went to the car dealership because they needed the information and knowledge about a car and then buying the right car. Now, you can pretty much assume anyone goes to a car dealership, they know more about that car than the salesperson. They know the price down the street. They know where they can order it from a vending machine now.
Yes.
And get it delivered to them automatically. And so they don't need businesses or salespeople for knowledge. They need them for wisdom instead. And so when business owners in the previous mindset can see that and go, just give it away for free, like they're going to know it anyway, that's not our secret sauce, our special, our value.
Well, it's interesting. I had a conversation just recently with one of my clients, and they are utilizing the tools and they're adapting, but they still are a reluctant member of the community. And we had a whole debate about cold calling. Now, I'm a believer that you don't give up one for the other. There is a place for everything in this kind of sphere. But I followed up with them with data that showed you have like a 0.03% conversion rate on cold calling, which fundamentally means you have to make like 1,800 or 1,600 calls to get one customer. On the social platforms, you firstly are telling your message to many, getting it out there. And like it or not, the reality is that people in your social sphere seeing your content have this false sense of relationship with you. They think they know you. I always tell the story of my youngest daughter years ago. She was talking about the Kardashians. She's a big Kardashian fan. And my husband challenged her on something. And she was like, no, and rattles all this stuff off. And she's in a world where she feels like if she was to put a post somewhere out there and tag one of the Kardashians, they will respond because they have a relationship.
Right.
Even though it's really all a mirage of a relationship. Right. And so that's true when we talk about connecting with people on social, because on LinkedIn specifically, you have a 60% higher conversion rate getting people to respond to you than any other medium, because they have this false sense of reality. You message them, they can message you back very quickly. They see you in their feed. So it's a very passive way of connecting and building it to a conversation.
Ones that you see out there, and this might be similar to what you're talking about, the struggling businesses that you're seeing right now in general, what are they missing?
It's unfortunate they aren't open to the possibility.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really it. I think that they have been successful utilizing the tools that have always been there. And so the idea of having to step out of that comfort zone, I think we all, when fear drives us, it almost immobilizes us. And I think that it's really about a sense of fear that maybe it's, I can't compete in that space because I'm new there and I don't really know how to use it. Or the, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I also think that as we age, I'm sorry to say, we all become very comfortable in our ways. Sure. And so you really have to have a curiosity and that drive that you had 20 years ago to remain relevant and adapt. Because what's the saying? If you don't adapt, you die.
That's it. And I think it's interesting that you said it. I'd never thought about it this way, because I completely agree about the fear and not wanting to change. And this is the way we've always done it. I deal with salespeople that same way. It's like, I've always sold this way. It's like, okay, that's great. But sometimes you need to evolve. So that part I get, right? And people that listen to me know I talk about that all the time. But the part I hadn't thought about is where you say like, they just don't know what to do. And I'm thinking of like, it's just a big mountain where it's like, okay, you're telling me I got to do digital. You're telling me I should get on there. You're telling me I should do these things. Like, I don't know where to start. And that seems like a giant thing. I know for me, I scroll through LinkedIn, especially a couple of years ago when I was starting this. And I'm just like, there's no way I can do what these people are doing. They're just machines. They're putting out this great content. They've got great videos. It's like, I don't even want to start because it's so much work. And so that's an interesting one too, which is goes to the quote, like, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. And so sometimes it's just little bits.
Yes. A couple of things to that, Jason, because that totally resonates with me. I was reading, I think it was Jen Sincero's book, I'm a Badass at Making Money. And she was talking about all these different things that you can do. And it came down to, you got to pick one. Start with one. And that's the same thing. If you're overwhelmed with everything, take a step back and pick one. When I'm working with my clients, I always say, master one before you decide to pull a second one in. And in fact, because I am middle-aged and I work with so many in the same demographic that I'm in, the way I process everything with them, if I'm doing a training like with LinkedIn, I give them one little piece of LinkedIn the first week. The second week I add in a second, then I add in a third, so that by the time we get through our 6 weeks, they are mastering that one skill, which really empowers them. You're able, we track results so that by the end of that window, you could actually see where they started and what they had accomplished. And I really think that it's a baby doesn't come out crawling.
Nope.
People used to say to me when my daughter was almost 18 months old, aren't you worried that she's not walking yet? Now, listen, she could walk. She was lazy. She didn't want to do it. But what I would say is she's not going to go to college without being able to walk. And guess what? She walks all around campus.
So she's good. Well, and that's where the long-term, long focus is. But just taking it one step at a time, right? Like getting up a mountain.
Exactly.
It's one step at
and
a time.
Digital and social media is not a short game. That's, you know, it is not a short game. People have to accept that and invest in the time that it takes, because nothing is a quick hit these days. It's just, you have to, you may feel like, oh, you pick up the phone and you call someone and you get a sale. Yes, but you had to call 1,800 people.
Right.
So how long did that take you?
Exactly. So let's shift a little bit from your perspective, because you've been in business and you do marketing. And you help your clients with marketing, but just kind of like how everything is marketing and branding at some level for anything, everything is sales. And so everything you've done is also selling. It's marketing as a vehicle for sales. It's selling your clients. To you, what do you think when you hear the word authentic? What does that mean to you?
So I'll answer it in two parts. Authentic, when I hear it, I feel like it's a very overused term. Oh, you got to be authentic. Well, okay, yes. What it means to me is really just being you. It's being sincere. It's being honest with a sense of compassion, but also the ability to share in a way that you're not tempering what you're saying or what you're doing. So it's being your true self.
On the
brand, true self, yeah, too. You don't want the new Coke. They wanted Coke.
Well, and I think that's great to hear that from your perspective, both as a business person, somebody who's selling because it's all sales, but then also from the branding marketing side of what you're helping your clients with. On the topic of the overused part, which I think is interesting, do you see a solution for that, or is something is just going to fade and then there's going to be a new word in another couple of years that people are going to go after?
Have you pivoted this year?
Oh, yes.
So I think the answer is it's going to morph into something else.
Yeah.
I do. That's truly the evolution in marketing, is what is that buzz term?
Yeah. Well, and that's what was interesting. When I started writing my book, my coach and mentor that was helping me, when we came up with the title, he was like, what does that mean to you? You got to define that, because it's used all over the place and everyone has a different idea of persuasion, different idea for authenticity. Like, what does that mean for you? And so speaking of which, where has persuasion fit in your success?
I would say that, I don't want to say it out loud, because if I say it out loud, it makes it real. I'm not a natural salesperson, okay? Right. I don't come from that space. In fact, when I went into business for myself, it was this kind of a shock, like, oh, wow, now I have to sell me and what I can do for you. So I don't think, if I look at the term persuasion in its authentic way, in its pure definition of where I say persuasion is getting somebody to do what you want them to do or getting an outcome that you want, feels like heavy-handed. So for me, I would say persuasion, where it's been successful for me, is making the ask. Because I think many of us forget to actually ask. So case in point, one of my former clients was on your show, Jamie Sarchet. And I saw that she was on and I tuned in. And so I reached out to her and I asked, can you make an introduction for me? Now, is that persuasion? No, but that introduction may have persuaded you to talk to me to see if I would be a fit to talk on the show. So I think where it's been successful for me is that I have learned how to ask for the introduction or for the opportunity.
And I think what's interesting is, in my opinion, there is persuasion in that ask, even for this, which is great. And I was going to mention Jamie. I'm glad that you brought her up because she's so amazing. Is that it was built on some form of relationship, right? That got it there such that you wanted to do that. You could do a cold ask, but that's not so much persuasion as just hoping versus like having this thing that's there as a basis for it. So I think that's great. When you were growing up, what did you want to be? What did you want to do?
Well, any little girl growing up where I did, everybody wanted to be a school teacher. Yes. And then I shifted from being a school teacher to wanting to be my big sister, because she did everything right and she was venturing out into the world and moved to New York City and doing all these cool things. And truthfully, I pursued being my sister until I hit my 40s. And then I kind of had this epiphany of, wait, I want to be me. And I feel much closer to being me than I ever had before. So now I think I love what I do. I love who I help. If I had glasses into the future when I was 18, I probably would have pursued a different career, not because I don't like what I do, but I've always had an interest in health and wellness. So I went from a teacher to be my big sister to being me.
There you go. And what I love is you sharing that, which I appreciate. And it is that journey, and where you start isn't where you end. And we all kind of go, I mean, I know I went through that journey back and forth and all over the place. So that's awesome.
The funny thing, Jason, if I may interrupt for one second,
yeah,
is if I look full circle, I think I was destined to be a marketer. I go back and I think about, as a little kid, I used to hold, and this really dates me, MDA carnivals on Labor Day weekend. And I used to go throughout town to collect prizes and to put up posters. I, at one point, made handbags and marketed and sold them to my classmates. So I think there's something in my DNA that I was destined to be doing what I'm doing.
That's awesome. It's always those little clues that are there sometimes that will show you where you were going to go anyway. Obviously, you focus on marketing, there's sales. So either way, what's the most non-sales, non-marketing job you've ever done?
Babysitting.
There you go. I love it. I would say babysitting at the base level is definitely marketing and sales. Unless you're using duct tape or tying them up. Right.
Well, that's so funny that you think it is. Because like when I think about my jobs, my very first job was working at McDonald's, paying job like that. I worked at a little gourmet market in college. And then I worked at an amusement park. I think all of those are, well, maybe not the amusement park. I was like an usher at the amusement park.
Yeah. Second to last question. What's your definition of success?
Happiness.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, I was listening to this really old recording of Earl Nightingale. It's called The Strangest Secret. And he said, which comes first, success or money?
Okay.
Which comes first? What do you think, Jason?
I would say success, depending on your definition of success.
Exactly. And that's what they say. They say too often people think money suggests success, but really you have to have success before you can generate money.
And you can have some money and make good money, but you won't have success. If you don't feel successful and you're not living your definition of success, you will lose all that money because that's not it. Yeah. And then last question. So which one for you, the journey or the destination?
I hate to say it, but I think it's the destination.
Done. There's no right or wrong. This isn't the judgment show of it better be the journey or else. Why do you say that?
Because listen, life is a journey and there are tons of things in life that are thrilling and exciting. There are tons of things in life that are challenging and hard. And I think that when you get to the destination, there's such a element of joy, euphoria, acknowledgement that you can be reflective on the journey and see past all of the things that you had to go through to get there. Don't they say that's like childbirth? You go through all this pain and then you have this beautiful baby and you forget the pain. So it's the destination. There, I'm convinced.
There you go. My mom calls them childbirth memories. You forget all the bad stuff and you just think of the good stuff. So no, that's amazing. I love the answer. No judgment. I mean, I think you can argue either way and people try to say one or the other. I love it. I mean, it's all relative. So best place for you, obviously you do social media, digital strategies with people. LinkedIn is one of your best things. So for anyone listening, you want to engage with Benita, you want to follow her, find what she's doing, chat with her, go to LinkedIn. Also, yep. Your website, benitasamuels.com is another place. Anything else? Any other good stuff that you have that might be helpful for people or where they should find you?
You know what? Start with LinkedIn. Let's connect. Tell me that you heard us talking on the show with Jason and we'll make a connection and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Benita, thanks for being on the Authentic Persuasion Show. I appreciate you for sharing all of this insight and knowledge and hopefully shifting the way people are doing their marketing and their sales.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you having me on and I look forward to tuning in.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.